Podcast One Sports presents Attack Each Day, the Harbaugh's podcast. Every Tuesday, you can hear Jack Harbaugh.
We're going to attack this day with an enthusiasm unknown to mankind.
Jim Harbaugh.
What the hell's going on around here?
And JT Rogan share their stories from on and off the field. Past guests include John Harbaugh, ESPN's Adam Schefter, and Pardon My Takes, PFT and Big Cat. So don't miss an episode of Attack Each Day, the Harbaugh's podcast. Every Tuesday, exclusively on PodcastOne.com and the new Podcast One app. Just a sample of what's coming to Podcast One Sports.
Recorded live at Corolla One Studios with Adam Carolla and board-certified physician and addiction medicine specialist, Dr. Drew Pinsky. You're listening to The Adam and Dr. Drew Show.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get on mandate. Get it on. Thanks for tuning in, and thanks for telling a friend. We love that about you, right, Drew?
We do indeed. A couple questions. Yesterday's show kind of stuck with me a little bit, and we didn't have time for me to ask a couple questions I wanted to follow on.
And we talked. Harley Ermey is in full metal jacket.
Well, that was one of my questions.
It's crazy. He's crazy, right?
That's insane.
He's the dumbest smart person on the planet.
You guys
everybody.
Never had him on Loveline?
Who is the actor?
His name is Arlie Ermey.
What's the yes. No? And what's the character's name? Is he just drill sergeant? Whatever.
He said it in that clip.
I see.
Gunny. That's what he called himself.
Sergeant,
anyway, go ahead.
You ever heard of Jefferson Airship?
All right, sorry. Go ahead.
That was a famous moment. Mm-hmm. The guy Steve we were talking to yesterday, this financial analyst, it occurred to me that those guys that are financial analysts always remind me of him. They always have the same attitude, oftentimes, at least ones I know. And they're always very sort of secure and easy, and they see the future in positive terms in spite of downturns. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
They're very sort of securely calm and optimistic about the future, so many of them that mm-hmm. I know anyway. And it made me wonder who this honky-tonk guy was you would talk to that seemed so negative. I don't know who that is. Explain what that was. And what his thing was. I just had questions. What was that?
I don't even remember. He just said, you know, it goes up. It's got to come down. So get ready for it to come down. And, there's so much going on. There's so many factors outside of this United States these days that I don't know.
That's what he was saying?
No, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. That I don't know how you couldn't look. Seattle could be taken out by nuke. So, who's to say what tomorrow holds financially? My thing is I'm an atheist about or an agnostic about the market. It's just get up and go to work and try to make your own luck. And you know, there's no such thing as free money. Oh, you always hear stories. Oh, the guy, he was one of the first guy to invest in Uber. Okay, well, that's not going to be you.
Right.
And then, oh, he bought a herd of 1,000 head of cattle and they all died. Okay, well, that's not going to be you either.
Right.
So why don't you just work hard, be sort of prudent. For me, I happen to like real estate because it seems more tangible. Doesn't seem like, oh, it just went away or just didn't work out.
Also, you have an ability to amplify the value through the skill set.
Yeah, I bought a warehouse up the street from here a couple of years back that when you walked into it, you'd get the heebie-jeebies. Like,
right.
It was dank, it was dark, it was quite frankly kind of scary. Like, there was no light passed through it, and you went into certain rooms, and it's like you tried to imagine what went on in this thing.
Like,
if you imagine some murders and stuff.
Dungeon.
I just had some like crude plywood risers and some old phone cords. It seemed like a place they did like they were selling timeshare or something, and had a bank of indentured servants, you know, making phone calls who were brought here from China in a container ship or something. It all seemed really bad and really weird and really dank and really whatever. And there were literally like holes busted in walls and stuff. And it's the kind of thing where I think if either one of our wives would have toured it, they would have went, ugh, no, You know what I mean? Like, this is bad. Not only both our wives, you.
Anybody who doesn't know who Arlie Ermey is, for that matter.
Right. Would have walked in and went, bleh. And I looked at it and went, no, let's just get my guys on it and we'll clean it up and we'll make it right. And it'll take a little time, but it'll be fine. And now it's really nice.
Yeah.
So, yes, it is. I do sort of believe in that, you know, kind of go for what you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Now, we had a caller from yesterday fall off, but now she's back on, okay. I think. So it's Adriana. Adriana?
Hi.
Hi, Adriana. Adam, what's going on?
Hi. I just want to say I really admire you both. I've been listening since I was in my early teens, so I appreciate everything from all the years.
Thank you.
Anyway, I'm a little... Yeah, of course. So I'm calling. My question is twofold. I've recently started dating a guy who is wonderful. He's empathetic, caring, kind, patient, really different so far from men I've dated in the past.
Mm-hmm.
But it's become, yeah. But it's become apparent that he's a problem drinker. Mm-hmm. And looking over my dating history, I have consistently been drawn to guys who have some kind of addiction. Either they're alcoholics or problem drinkers, potheads, coke users.
What is what's your definition of a problem drinker?
Like getting drunk all the time.
Okay. I mean, not like he puts together 2 weeks and then goes on a binge. Not that kind of. Or I'm just curious what problem drinker is.
Yeah, no, not, you know, I think it's pretty typical for people to get drunk once in a while, but I'm talking about guys who drink every day and usually to excess.
Yeah, you know, as I think about this kind of stuff, you have kids and you think about what you hope for them and all that kind of stuff. You know, having someone who's strung out on pills or any sort of substance abuse.
Yeah.
Any form of addiction. Any form of addiction. You know, hey, I'm a huge Backstreet Boys fan, and I'm going on tour. Every time they go on tour, I quit my job.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, any of that is insanely, it's weird. It's not, Drew's not going to like this term, but it's wildly disrespectful to your partner. You know, this thing where you go, like, I need 100 Prozac a day to function, or I need to go follow the Backstreet Boys. Like, it's like you're really not holding up your end of the relationship bargain.
That's true.
With that sort of whatever that is.
Well, you got to remember that with alcoholics addicts, they love the alcohol and the drugs more than anything else.
Yeah.
That's why the relationship doesn't get priority.
But it's the guys who bury themselves in fantasy football every football season, and it's like literally becomes a part-time job to keep up the three fantasy leagues they're in.
What about the workaholic?
The workaholic is bringing home money. So
that's our version of addiction. We defend that one, huh?
No, I don't defend that one. Oh, yes, I do defend. Ah. How dare you? Now, look, if somebody wants to go home and come home with a sack of money, that's fine. As long as it's not to the point where everything else be damned.
Yeah, I get it.
So stop it. But it's all detrimental. And so that is a bad for you.
But her question was why her? Yeah. And so usually, customarily, that has one of two sources. One is mom or dad, particularly dad, had an alcoholic tendency, even if he didn't drink, if he was just that genetic makeup, because it is a distinct genetic profile. Or you yourself, not necessarily you, but one is also an alcoholic and just wants a co to drink with. That's the other reason. What do you think? What's your version?
Well, I was hoping you wouldn't bring those things up. Yeah, both of my parents have, I would say, functional addicts or alcoholics.
All right, you know, so that's your experience of love. That's your love we call template or map, is with the people that are configured that way. You didn't get that gene, but you still love people with that gene. And that's not going to go away. That doesn't really go away, which is what's interesting. Now, you can choose not to go after that. You know, you can sort of, when you feel the lightning bolts, know that, okay, that must be an alcoholic addict, even though that person has never drunk before. I just know my feeling around those kinds of people, and I don't want to do that again. Or you can go with it and, you know, hope somebody gets into recovery or find somebody who is in recovery. And even then, you don't know if they're going to stay in recovery.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Well, Drew, can I ask a follow-up?
Yeah.
How do you know? Because, like I said, or I think I said, these guys are all different, you know,
yeah,
different
but listen,
personalities,
listen,
different backgrounds.
You didn't hear me. You didn't hear me. You're the perfect instrument. If you feel attracted to them the way you've that, you know, that lightning bolt feeling, for sure that person has the gene. For sure.
Mm. Yeah, it's sad.
You're a perfect instrument.
Catch 22.
Yeah. Now, you can go for things that are not quite so interesting, not so exciting, but you may not like that. It's an interesting dilemma that people have. You have to get. Do you have a baby with one of these people?
I do. Well, yes, my ex-husband, or soon-to-be ex-husband. I know, it's kind of dramatic, but yeah, heavy drinker. He had a Percocet addiction.
Yeah, I mean, you can choose to stay in with. You can choose to stay in with one of these people and just, you know, see how they do and be in love with them in whatever form they take and go to Al-Anon and do your own work and take care of yourself and let their disease play out as it may. You know, it's a tough situation. Or find somebody that's not quite so exciting.
As I think about how easy it is to fall into these cycles these days.
Because so many people are addicted to stuff, too.
Well, look at it this way.
You used to be able to find people that weren't addicted, had the gene but weren't addicts. Now they all manifest.
Well, let's put it this way.
Yeah.
Everybody, most everyone, not saying the addict gene, I'm just saying most people are born with a sort of capacity or sort of a leaning toward leisure, ease of what have you. You know, look, if somebody says, what would you rather do? Would you rather go hunt a buffalo, skin a buffalo, fillet a buffalo, and cook a buffalo steak, or I could get you a buffalo burger?
Yeah, have it delivered right now.
Okay, yeah. So 99.9% of the world goes, I'll take the burger now.
Yeah.
Okay. So, but in the past, well, that wasn't on the table, pardon the pun. That's not a choice.
Yeah, but what
that's
about the buffalo to table pipeline? What about it?
Choice. By the way, you guys notice how the school to prison pipeline's gone away? Like the Huffington Post was convinced that it existed 6 years ago, and now they never bring it up ever again. So what I'm saying,
when I want you to find that woman that did the interview with you and go, what's the deal? What about it? Bring her in here for a podcast. Look,
I'm sure she'd be a fountain of answers.
I bet you can get her on the phone. I bet.
I don't know that she has a phone. My point is when they bring up their next school to prison pipeline, whatever the version is of their next lie, am I supposed to dive in and believe it, or shall I just do what I do with all the stuff they bring up, which is it's nonsense, it doesn't exist, and here's how I know it doesn't exist. You won't care about it in 3 years. You'll never talk about it. All right. That's like black mold is everywhere, black mold is nowhere.
Right.
You want me to dive into black mold? No, because it doesn't exist. I mean, I'm not saying mold doesn't exist. Okay. So, quiet.
Black mold isn't killing people the way it was supposed to. Okay, go ahead.
Quiet. Yeah. So, because we're all wired. All right, let's listen to what she has to say about the school-to-prison pipeline.
He didn't give you a good answer as to perhaps what he thought maybe some of the systemic causes are.
That's another word.
You know, leave minority groups in positions where they are more likely to live in poverty and...
I gave him the answer, which is family and
hold
education.
Hold on. When does... Traditionally, living in poverty didn't stop anyone from getting a fucking education. You can get educated. It has nothing to do. And there are whole nations that are educated in poverty. Right. You can get...
It's the parent involvement, though.
Yeah, I get that. Yeah. But being poor doesn't mean you can't go to the schoolhouse and learn to read. But anyway, go ahead. Let's hear her excuses.
I'll get out of this mess. And he said it was much more complicated than that. But then
it is a little more complicated than that, than just saying family and education.
Not much.
Oh, but come on. I mean, it's a system,
hold
right,
on.
Where
I like
you,
her posture, which is, oh, but come on. Like, come on what? Family and education. That'll work to get your group out of poverty. And she, her thing was like, well, wait a minute. Hold on. No answers. Come on. Like she, I like that she chose to say, oh, but come on.
Yeah.
As if she was saying.
Yeah, but still.
Yeah, none of this. None of this.
Yeah.
All right, let it run out. Why not?
It is much harder to get out of a certain income bracket if you're born into it. If you live in a certain neighborhood,
right.
that affects the quality.
That's why you have to focus on family and education. I'm not Christian or anything.
They're not going to solve everything.
It would solve everything, yeah.
Just family and education? What about the drug war that we have that's failing? What about the school-to-prison pipeline, things like this?
The school-to-prison pipeline, if you focused on education, I think would interrupt the school-to-prison pipeline.
Well, the problem is that
schools are
maybe not focusing on education so much as they are on reprimanding children.
All right, sweetheart. You have no answers. And by the way, you're racist because you don't think folks of color can do anything about their lot in
life.
That's
Amy Horowitz's stuff.
Of course you're racist. Of course it's an elitist.
Yeah.
It's an elitist, then racist thought. I think people of any color and any background can work hard, focus on education and family, and lift themselves out of whatever
she thinks she doesn't. You need her to get out of it.
Well, you don't need her. You need my tax dollars to fix it, which, by the way, never fixes anything. Point is this, Drew. Yeah. Since nobody ever wants to go out and hunt a buffalo, and we all want a buffalo burger brought to our table, and now we're living in a world where a buffalo burger can be brought to your table, and you can get high by taking a pill. You don't have to go into the woods and make a still or suck on fermented berries.
Or frog's eyeballs.
Or frog's eyeballs or anything like that. It is, since everything is so easy, and then you turn on your internet and there's porn on four corners of the internet, we must now make being the captain of our own ship, our own life coach, our own Arlie Ermey.
Ah.
We must be our own drill instructor 24/7.
Yeah.
You no longer can go, well, I'm just going to stay home today and see how the day unfolds, because there's Grubhub and porn and
Vicodin
and everything else.
Yeah.
And you're now at this in a situation where I won't sit home alone. Like I don't have many opportunities to, but yeah, if I do,
you tear your penis off.
I'll tear my penis off, and I might come gunning for yours.
Oh Jesus!
Oh
no.
Yeah, no.
What if I'm not alone?
What I'm saying is I will get up and go. I'm taking the dog for a walk.
Tell me when you'll be alone next time, will you?
I'll go take the dog for a walk.
Oh yeah,
a long walk, and then I'll get in the car and I'll go into the shop, even if I don't need to. The point is just sitting home in your apartment alone these days is not what it was in the 20s.
You also know once you go down, you ain't stopping.
Right.
Yeah, you just sit, if I sit in front of the TV, it's not going to be for half an hour.
Right. So start. You got to be your own drill sergeant.
All right.
You got to make your own rules.
We need like an Arlie Ermey like moniker. Like a
4 minutes ago, he had no idea who he was.
Oh, no, I'm totally into it now.
Now he wants a button.
I want a button.
All right. True car. There's something Arlie would recommend.
Sign off on it.
Shopping for a car, make sure you're getting real pricing on actual inventory. People configure cars online only to find out they're not there. Oh, that pisses Gunny off. True car, real pricing on actual inventory. Not pricing offered by True Car, but pricing from an actual True Car certified dealer, man.
Man.
Man, over 3 million cars sold by over 13,000 True Car certified dealers nationwide. So you're ready to buy new, you're ready to buy used, and that's pretty much it. It's pretty limiting. You get new or you get used, but you want a different car, then you go to True Car. The users save an average of over 3,000 bucks off MSRP. So again, when you're ready to make that move, you want new, you want used, you go True Car. True Car, baby. All right. Let's see. Top of the line.
Yeah.
Talk to Mike, 28, Burbank. Mike.
Hey, guys.
Hey, man.
Drew, I just had a question for Drew about a medication that I've been on.
Yeah.
So I call it COVID, and I treat low testosterone levels. And I've been on it for about 6 weeks. Everything feels awesome. I feel like I'm back.
All right, hold on. This line's a little bad. What's the medication?
Well, Clomid, which I need to know more why he's on.
What's Clomid?
Clomid is actually a medicine to help women release eggs. It helps with fertility. But for men, it can help turn on the Sertoli cells, turn on the testosterone production. My question is, was he on steroids or something? Is that why he...
At 28.
Yeah,
Go ahead, Mike.
Were you on steroids or something? Is that why you have low T?
No, never took steroids. Just kind of weird. About a year and a half ago, I noticed low sex drive, low energy. Got my testosterone checked. It came out to 550, which was still kind of in the normal range. Couple months after that, I started noticing my leg hair was falling out. My chest hair was kind of falling out. So I got tested again, and it was about 500.
That's all normal. Did you see an endocrinologist?
Wait, leg hair falling out?
Yeah, you saw an endocrinologist?
I did, yeah.
All right.
And, he told me that I may have acute low testosterone or something to where there's no real reason. It's just sort of declining.
I wonder from what, though. That's bizarre. Well, yes, that's a description of what's happening to you, but the question
is... Drew wants to know why.
Why is that happening? And it makes, you know, hair loss makes me think about adrenal insufficiency as much as testosterone change. And then again, why is this happening? I would hope they would look further. The Clomid is fine. I mean, you're feeling better, and so they've corrected the symptom, but what's the cause? That's what I'd be concerned about.
Yeah, that's kind of what I wanted to get to the bottom of.
Good.
I hear you guys say there's no free lunches in nature all the time.
Yeah.
So I don't want to just keep taking Clomid to fix a problem that
that
we're not quite sure what it is.
Right. And there are things that we can't explain, right, that happens. But I'd sure like to know, at least have a theory of what we're treating, like what we call a provisional diagnosis. And then why Clomid as opposed to just plain old testosterone replacement? I think it's probably because in people who have these sort of drops in testosterone production by the testes, Clomid has historically been associated with sort of turning them back on. So I think that's what they're going for here. So, which is good. I mean, that's a sophisticated move as opposed to suppressing them further with exogenous testosterone. That's great. But again, what the hell? Why did this happen? And if there's no explanation, there's no explanation. But I'd surely want to, you know, I'd want to know about autoimmune endocrine disturbances. I'd want to know about anything else going on in my body. I want to know how my adrenal function was going. So just maybe circle back around and get, you know, just ask a lot of questions. That's all.
All right. And speaking of questions, Lance, 39, Kansas. What's going on?
Hey, thanks for taking my call, gentlemen.
Yeah, man.
Okay, so, Drew, I heard you mention two or three episodes ago somebody was on Zoloft. I'm on Prozac, and you told that caller that it wasn't intended to be forever. I've been on Prozac for about 3 years at 40 milligrams. At one point, I was up to 80, but then they put me back down to 40. Ideally, how long should a person be on it? I mean,
Some people need to stay on it forever. That doesn't mean it wasn't intended to be on forever. The idea is that after about 6 months, if you're doing other kinds of therapies, some doctors, depending on what your diagnosis is, might try you off for a while. About 50% of the time, there will be a recurrence. That recurrence may be several years down the road. You may want to be off the medicines in the meantime. But half people end up on the medicines longer term.
All right.
Okay. And then speaking of other therapy, I've never heard you mention, and I'm really curious to get your take on it, on equine therapy. I started that about 6 weeks ago.
Yeah.
I was actually surprised by the results that I've seen in it so
good,
far.
Good. Not everything
is riding horses?
No, it's sort of talking to horses. It's sort of like being around horses.
Yeah, Mr. Ed? Yeah. They put peanut butter in their mouth?
No, it's just interacting with them for the most part.
And yeah, if you saw Celebrity Rehab, I did deploy equine therapies. I'm not a super fan of them because they end up being sort of sales tactics that treatment centers use.
Man, they're going to end up sitting next to me on a fucking plane.
The horse?
Yes, you and your goddamn Clydesdale on my next Southwest flight.
Yeah.
That's an interesting...
I was actually surprised that it was recommended through the VA.
Yeah, no,
so, who actually recommended it.
Well, if you have PTSD, that makes sense to me. See, there's a specific application. Yeah.
Well, here's the thing, Lance, and everyone who's listening. You know, when people say, like, you know, the best exercise is swimming, it's like, yeah, going to the Y every single morning and jumping in the pool and doing 50 laps is going to help anybody at any time, healthy, suffering from PTSD, what have you.
Yeah.
You know, and they go, turns out that puppies and kittens lower your blood. Yeah, I know. Guess what? Traffic raises your blood pressure.
Right.
Kittens lower your blood pressure. All the stuff that you know, the long walks, yes, of course. Like everyone, people aren't usually in horrible moods when they're around horses and petting them on the snout. And
well, but there is, in addition to that, there's this connectivity and these feelings that are changed.
Yeah, I get it.
And with PTSD, people are resistant to their feelings, and so this helps break through.
It's all good, just like having good friends and having good conversation and going on long walks and being in nature.
Point is, exercise. All good, but with a good equine therapist, properly referred, good therapy. Very good. Yeah.
Okay. Do you remember what Mr. Ed? Mr. Ed is a TV show about a talking horse. Of course, no one ever knew the horse talked. He would only talk in front of his owner.
In front of Wilbur.
Wilbur was the name. Wilbur was the – I have no idea why the horse was called Ed or Mr. Ed.
No.
And I had no idea why Wilbur seems like the name of a horse.
Yeah.
And Ed seems like the name of a guy.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure why. But he'd go, hello, Wilbur.
Yeah.
But was the horse named Ed and was his name Wilbur? And then how did, again, when you're riding a show, Mr. Ed sounds like the owner and Wilbur sounds like the name of a horse, not the name of a guy who owns a horse who talks. And the entire sitcom was about a horse that talked. Although, again, nobody else could know the horse talk.
Right, of course. You know, I had a funny conversation with my wife last night. She was watching The Good Place, the thing with, I'm going to forget everybody's name. Help me, guys.
Catherine Bell?
No. Oh, yes, what's Kristen her name Bell. Yes, Kristen Bell's in it. And
Ted Danson.
Ted Danson's in it.
Yeah.
And,
I got to finish Drew's own thoughts.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Thank you. I've never seen that show before.
All right.
I just know everything.
It's a good show. It's funny. She's great. He does a good job. But my wife is having trouble understanding it. And I go, well, it's a wacky group of misfits that are fighting to try to outwit the devil. I go, it's Hogan's Heroes. Mm-hmm. It's Hogan's Heroes, just not in a concentration camp. It's in hell.
Right.
Same thing. Hogan's Heroes. So.
Well, everything's sort of the same thing. All right. Minneapolis, the 13th, October. Mr. Ed.
Although we've
Fittire.
Not done, we've not done Mr. Ed again. You know what I mean? I don't think people fall for
Featured
that one so much.
Film apparently coming out.
Really?
Oh, boy.
Oh, that's bad.
That's because you've heard of it. Okay. Sad. Anyway, Friday, October 13th, Minneapolis Music Hall. Saturday, October 14th, Nashville Polk Theater. Come on out. And then afterward, we'll go out in the lobby, shake hands, take some pictures, have some fun. Me and Prager, Dennis Prager, that is November 29th, Brooklyn, New York, King's Theater. And live podcast coming up Irvine, coming up Bakersfield, coming up Oxnard. Just go to AdamCarolla.com and go to Carolla Drink. Say hi to Lynette. Get yourself some merch and buck slips. And Drew, what do you got?
Check out me and Jen Kirkman on the Dr. Drew podcast, please.
So, until next time, Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying, mahalo.